Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
This is Chris Brown, host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Want to welcome you. I am here at the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, excited today to talk to you about stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. We are reclaiming stewardship today. We're going to be talking about your life, talking about your money. So feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. We are reclaiming stewardship, and much more about that at stewardship.com. Now, you're going to hear a lot of things that we talk about today, from books to articles, and you can find those things at Chris Recommends right there at stewardship.com. Again, you go to stewardship.com and look for Chris Recommends. Our phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. From Las Vegas, Nevada, this is John. John, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's my honor. How can I serve you?
Well, I'm getting married next year in October, and I was wondering if it would be all right if I stopped my 401k for a year to save up some money for the wedding. Otherwise, I'd have to empty out my 6 month to 8 month savings account.
Tell me some details about this grand wedding. You're doing some big things. You get married on a helicopter, flying over the...
No, just a lot of people. A lot of people are going to be flying in and having to get rooms and stuff like that. So
yeah, do I hear that?
And not a lot of people in my family have the money to travel.
Yeah. So you're planning on picking up their tab?
Sure.
So have you guys talked about who's paying for what?
There's a lot of people that can. A lot of close family that doesn't live in the state, so they can drive or whatever, but they just need a little help once they get here.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your fiance. Give me the elevator pitch. What makes her so amazing?
Oh, she's just the best. She's the most loving person, compassionate, and I'm not the easiest person to get along with, and she puts up with me, so I couldn't ask for anything more from her.
Well, that's cool. You got a good, humble spirit about you. I wouldn't stop your 401k because you have 6 months in savings, and so I would maybe pull some of that. It's the reason why you save. Now, it is an emergency fund, but it is fully funded. I mean, it's 6 months, and in your season of life with very little to risk and not a whole lot of household overhead or household expenses, you might be able to pull 3 months of that and use that for your wedding. I will advise you, though, that remember what the goal is with your marriage. Your goal is to have an amazing marriage, not necessarily an amazing wedding. You didn't want to have a good wedding, but we've seen so many times the tragedy of having an incredible wedding that's just out of this world and then a subpar marriage. You have done a good job at putting you guys in a good situation going into your marriage, in a good financial situation where you can sleep at night. And as of right now, starting in October, you're going to be loving life because you're going to be in a good spot with lots of margin and savings. And I wouldn't want you to go into a marriage blowing all of that and getting rid of it all. Do you want to start? I think you can do this without stopping your 401k. But I would just encourage you even at a deeper level to really diagnose what is really important in the wedding. What kind of elements are the crucial parts? And then ask yourself the question, can this be done a cheaper way? Can this be done? And it'll force some creativity. And you realize you don't need the $100 per square yard ribbon. You can get away with the $3 square yard ribbon, and it looks just the same in pictures. And you don't need the $4,000 videographer when you're going to look at that video maybe twice in the remainder of your life. You might be able to get a videographer for maybe $50 or $100. So just think through some of those things. But I don't think you need to cancel your 401k. I think you already have it in savings. Just don't blow it all. Keep 3 months. and then build that savings up as fast as you can, back up to six, if six is what you feel like you need. We always teach 3 to 6 months is appropriate.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. We've already gone some cheaper routes on some of the stuff we're doing, so we're really good at finding cheap things.
Good. Well, it seems like you're financially minded. You're in a good spot. Already given. How old are you?
30.
Yeah, 30. Already given a 401k and got 6 months saved. Yeah, you've got a good start. Just remember how you got here, and don't blow it on the wedding, even though it's justifiable. There's a way that you can have a very special day for a fraction of the cost.
Okay, perfect.
All right, thank you. And just as a reminder, you guys can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. I got one here from Kelsey. She emails in from Wisconsin. She says, "Hey, Chris, thank you for all you do. I listen daily and hear you talk a lot about the tithe. Financial Peace University was the first time I've ever even heard about the tithe. And last month, after my own research, I decided to begin my tithe. And one of my favorite scriptures is Malachi 3:10. Tonight, however, I got in a healthy discussion with some fellow Christians who also follow the baby steps, and they came at me with the concept that the Old Testament requires a tithe while the New Testament only states to be courageously or outrageously generous. I've heard you say we need to continue on to the New Testament without forgetting the Old." That's Matthew 23:23. "But I'm confused as to where to find this in Scripture. Are they correct in saying that we're not under the law to tithe anymore? I fully understand it is not a salvation issue, and I tithe because I truly am a cheerful giver and have a naturally giving heart." Thank you for the email, Kelsey. There's probably a lot of people listening right now that are wondering about the same thing. The truth that we are not under law, we aren't, and that is the good news. That is the gospel. Jesus is the reason that we're not under the law, and so they are correct in that. They are correct. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus was the answer to the law. He fulfilled the law. And so do we need to tithe so that we can fit into some legalistic law? No, we don't. But the Bible also says in Matthew 23:23 that he's talking to the Pharisees. And he's saying, no, you guys keep bringing a tenth, but you're forgetting about love and justice and mercy. You guys need to make sure that you're doing both. And Jesus says, no, you don't have to do the tithe, but you should be doing the tithe. And then if you read the entire New Testament, you can tell that tithing, well, is just training wheels. It is the bare minimum. It's really not even giving. It's returning back to God. It's a first fruits concept. It's addressing the fact and recognizing the fact that he is the provider, that all of this is his. He's the owner and we're the managers. So do you have to tithe because of some legalistic law? No. No, you tithe because you really do believe in the local church, the local storehouse, referencing your Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And you recognize that in Matthew 23:23, that Jesus very specifically called out this one practice and says, don't stop. Keep going on. And that's just the beginning. So folks, thank you so much for the email, Kelsey. And you guys, just remember, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. We do understand that everyone doesn't want to be on the air talking. So if you want to email in, feel free to do so. Speaking of talking, you can call at 866-357-3283. Our next caller is Sonny. She's calling in from Sacramento, California. Sonny, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I am blessed. How's it going in California today?
Oh, it's nice, mild weather today. It's very hot.
How did I know that you were going to say that? I mean, when do you ever talk to someone in California? Oh, it's horrible. We're having a huge snowstorm. It's brutal. You guys are just crazy. I mean, I'm telling you, you guys are making us all jealous.
We got a lot of fires here, though.
That's true. Well, how can I serve you?
Okay, I did have a question about, we're on baby step two, and we have a rental home that we were considering selling. I just want to know, should we sell that or keep it for the amount of cash flow? Because we looked at the price that we're going to secure, and it's not quite as high as we would like. So we won't clear enough to cover all of our debt. So we're just waiting, seeing if we should hold on to it and wait till it comes up a little bit, or just sell it now and get what we can out of it.
All right. Well, let me ask you a series of questions, Sonny. It's And then I'm going to ask you after we ask these questions, what do you think?
Okay.
Okay, so hopefully the questions will lead us to the right place. Okay, first of all, how much debt do you have?
It's about $85,000.
Okay, and that's a non-mortgage debt.
Right, so 60 of it is student loans, 20 of it is credit cards, and 5 is line of credit.
Okay, and your income?
It's about $140,000.
Okay, and does that include the rental income?
No, actually it doesn't. That's all just salary.
Oh, so you're like, oh, I make more than that. how much is your primary mortgage? Do you have a primary mortgage?
On my residence, it's $146,000.
Okay. How long do you think, making $140,000 a year and you have $85,000 in debt, how long do you think it would take you to pay off your debt without selling the rental home?
Well, right now we've been working on Baby Step 2, so we're setting aside about $2,000 a month. On debt, so 2 and 8 is 4, so like 44 months.
Okay, so a little under 4 years. And do you like landlording? I mean, is it like just something you just love?
I have other people that manage the property for me. This, so, you know, it's not too troublesome.
Okay.
Really isn't really a lot of trouble, except when people move out. That's a hassle.
How often does that happen?
But for this house, it's never happened.
Okay. Well, good. So what's your rental income every month?
It is $1,100 a month. But you know what? This particular property is kind of expensive to maintain because we have a mortgage on it. So we're paying like $555 a month on the mortgage and then another maybe $125 in utilities and things.
All right. So you're netting about $300 to $400.
Yeah. I guess that's really not a lot. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting there to the answer. How much do you owe?
We owe $103,000.
All right. And the value of the home?
Well, the real estate agent said that we could probably sell it for $200,000.
Okay.
And then we're looking at, we sell it for $200,000. We pay the commission, which is about $9,000. We save aside maybe 15% for taxes. So we're looking at, you know, having maybe 76, by my calculations, about 75, 76 profit.
Yeah. One more question. If you had a choice today, let's say you had $80,000 in cash in your hand, would you put it towards your debt or would you go buy a rental house?
I know I've heard that question before, and I guess the wise thing to do would be to put it to debt. Yeah.
Well, I think you answered your own question. Here's the deal. You don't have to sell it because you make $140,000 a year and you could bust this thing out in 3.5 years.
Right.
And you could live frugally. You could sacrifice. I'm not always about doing the quickest thing.
Right.
But for me, the reason why I like you guys selling it, because I don't like you having a rental house until your primary is paid off anyway.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. I'd want you to pay off your primary. If something goes wrong in life, I would love it if you didn't have a mortgage on your primary residence first.
Right.
Because that's where you're actually, that's your shelter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like you to get into landlording until your primary is paid off, which is baby step 6. So that's
right. That makes sense. Yeah.
I think you might be underestimating the amount of pressure $85,000 in debt is putting on you, plus an additional $103,000 in a rental home.
Right.
Because you still have to worry about that renter moving out sometime, and you're stuck with a $550 mortgage on the rental home. So
right.
I think you just free up your life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 5 says, free yourself. You might have heard this before. Like
yeah.
a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. When I read that, you want to free yourself. I'm thinking about like, and it goes on to say like a bird from the snare of the fowler. I think about my wife running from a spider. It's pretty darn aggressive. And that includes selling a rental home. So I'm all about selling it. And of course, we have our ELPs on stewardship.com. Check them out and they can help you with it. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Sonny. Well, folks, we're talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class, as a home study, or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or you can call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
Thank you for listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Got an email here, folks, from Jonathan. He says, your ministry is a blessing. Your words of encouragement are very uplifting along with your advice. You have helped me see my financial obesity. Now I'm trying to slim up and have my money be for the glory of God. Pretty cool. I do have a question when the time is right. How much do you recommend for a down payment on a house with a 15-year fixed mortgage? And one more thing, what you stated the other day that a job should mean more to you than just going to work, that you should have a fire for what you do, has really sat with me. And now I'm looking at my life closely. Thank you again, and God bless you. That's pretty cool. I love it. Well, Jonathan, the down payment needs to be 20%. You're looking to put 20% down. That allows your, of course, your mortgage payment to be a little bit lower. And it also allows you to avoid PMI, mortgage insurance, which is a pretty hefty bill to tack on your mortgage. So if you can avoid that, that is the best. Well, folks, we have talked about a variety of different subjects today. And you might get lost. You might get lost in between debt and investing and school funding and all these different things that are out there. And you might just get a little bit lost. And if you're looking for where do I start, maybe you're driving in your car right now and you're like, where do I start? The first place you start is you need to go to everydollar.com and get on a budget. It is so simple. Again, you don't have to have a pocket protector, an Excel spreadsheet, and it doesn't have to be complicated. Just get some stuff down on paper and have a plan. Before you do anything, make sure you have a budget or a spending plan or a cash flow plan, whatever you want to call it, but you've got to have a plan starting today. Again, you can give me a call at 866-357-3283 or email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. From Seattle, Washington, this call comes in from Romeo. Romeo, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I am blessed. How can I help you today?
I would like to ask your input in my situation involving my mother.
Okay.
My mother helped paying my tuition when I was in college and graduate school by using her credit card. And the total amount of her debt in her credit card is about $22K right now. And as a responsible son, I offered to help pay her credit card bill, but I would like to take over her accounts to be able to fully manage it. And I would just like to ask your input and how should I go about this?
Yeah. Romeo, do you mind me asking why you'd like to get the accounts transferred over? Why is that such a big deal to you?
Just because I would like to manage it myself and have better control. Right now, I'm giving my money to her, but you know, I just would like to take over and just fully manage it by myself.
Hmm. You can try and get those converted over to your name. Is there multiple credit cards? Is there multiple loans out? How's it all broken up?
There are, I believe, three major credit cards, one from BCU bank account, it's a local bank in Seattle, and one from U.S. bank, I believe, and the other one is from, is it Sears credit card? So there are three major credit cards that I'm paying.
Okay, and you are certain that these charges that are on there are for your college only, or are they for other things as well?
I believe there are certain other things as well, but majority of it are for my college tuition.
Okay, so regardless, you want to make sure you pay this. If you're paying for it, why is there a question about control? I mean, if I was your mom, I'd be like, sure, here you go. Have fun. I love you, son. Great job. Why do you feel a lack of control?
Actually, just want to be honest with you. My mom has a little bit resistance to me take over just because she said that, you know, it's going to damage my credit card score. And so she doesn't want to put that burden to me. But, you know, I said, I don't think it should be a problem. And, you know, I'm married now and I don't want to tangle up my finances with my mom. So my wife and I discussed that it's better if we take over and then we just manage it ourselves without having to involve my mom.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Normally, in most situations, it'd be the opposite. It'd be, you know, where you wouldn't want to bring in any decisions from the mom into a new marriage. You've got a unique scenario. I think whatever you and your wife want to do, if you want to bring them into your name, I just don't understand it. The biggest want that I hear from your voice is not necessarily that they're paid off. It's that you remove this connection with you and your mom and debt. So if that's what the number one goal is for you, then go for it. Put it all in your name. And then, you know, it sounds like you're pretty aggressive. You want to be aggressive on these things.
Yes.
Yeah. Pay him down hard. I mean, but for me, if she's not pressuring you, I wouldn't want to put my wife in that scenario. I would just keep them where they're at. She's the one that made the decision, even though it was for your benefit, and I'd be thankful for it. And I would be very, very thankful, but it was her decision. And I think that's where it should lie. And then you make the payments if you really feel like the money's actually going to go to where it's supposed to go and that she's not going to continue to use the credit cards. But if you have the doubt there, and that's why you want the control, then I totally get it. I totally get it. The biggest thing I hear from your voice is I love the idea of you having personal responsibility. Like you want to be responsible for something that you benefited from, and that is a college education. So rare, and it's incredible that you're trying to reciprocate the generosity, and I applaud it. But whoever's name it is, I don't care, just as long as it's eliminated. Russ Stevens emails in. He says, I really enjoyed your talk on how debt is keeping people in trouble, but I don't think you went deep enough. Larry Burkett used to say that debt is only a symptom. He went on to say that the real problems were almost always greed, immorality, or a lack of trust in God. Greed is easy to understand. I've heard that immorality can be very expensive. You mentioned lack of trust in God when you did your next answer. Debt is a statistic, but the underlying problems are what the church needs to address to really teach biblical stewardship. And my answer to you, Russ, is I agree. I agree with everything that you said, and that's what we try to stress on this show. If that one particular call, I didn't go deep enough, I apologize. That is correct. Most of the time, our debt is a symptom. There's something deeper. We have not been content. We've been impulsive, or we've not been content and we've been entitled. If we're all honest with ourselves, that's true most of the time. Not all the time. Sometimes there's some medical stuff that's thrown at us like crazy, or we had this high motive to go get a master's degree. Still a bad decision, but it wasn't rooted in greed or immorality. But, you know, a lot of times it is a lack of trust in God. We're deciding that we're going to trust a loan or we're going to trust Visa instead of trusting God's timing. And a lot of times we just need to exercise a little bit of patience. Thank you so much for your email. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're here as a free service. But in order to be able to continue, we need your help. By one, continue listening to the show and telling your friends about it. Number two, check out stewardship.com. And for you podcast listeners, would you consider leaving a review on iTunes? It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Not quite on the Periscope yet. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, let's all continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you all.